Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Brett Okamoto will be joining us shortly. And hi, Matt. Good to see you.
Hi, Jimmy.
I'm a bit under the weather, a little bit of a cold.
Are you?
A little bit. Nothing crazy. A little bit.
I taught some jiu-jitsu this morning at Sarah BJJ Huntington, New York.
Okay.
And I'll be teaching another couple of days. And I'll be with you another couple of days. And then I'm going on a jet plane across the pond.
Oh, that's right. You're going to London.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. You know?
Yeah. How long are you going for? Three or four days? Oh, that's right. You're going over there for that thing with GSP.
Yeah, for the love of MMA, it's called. It's like a MMA ex, what is it? Like a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll show a
exhibit kind of thing where you guys will talk and teach a class.
A lot of people in this thing, man. I think Anderson Silva, Vita Belfort.
Ah.
Leon Edwards, I just heard. So you got some new school guy, the champion there.
Sure.
Some old school champions, you know.
Are you looking forward to it? Isn't that a fun thing? Like, you're just getting to travel and you just kind of have to hang out and talk about something you love to talk about anyway.
Yeah, like, listen, man. I'm a people person with the right people.
Right.
I mean, with the wrong people, I just like to be a hermit.
You're a problem with the wrong people.
I like to have a good time.
Yeah.
Having a good time. And it's called For the Love of MMA. For the Love of MMA. So you can look that up on Instagram.
Question for you.
Yes. What?
Now, I know I took Blades. I thought he would drag Sergey into deep waters. You took Sergey. Did you pick him in the first round?
Well,
or second.
I don't know if you're being what we call not. A Weisenheimer.
I
picked Blades in the fourth round.
Oh, you switched. You had Sergey at first, right?
No, I did not.
We both took him. Okay.
I'm a Curtis Blades fan. Who did Sergey lose to in the UFC?
Was it a UFC loss? Let me see. I have his
6-1 in the UFC. Who did he lose to?
I will tell you in one second.
I'm a producer. I'm humming the theme of Jeopardy, and I ain't seen.
No, hold on. Let me check. I'll look it up.
Well, you could, but let's see if Jake the producer Overeem. How did Overeem beat him? Alistair Overeem. How did
TKO?
TKO.
First round TKO.
Holy shit. And boy, he looks like he got over that.
Yeah, he sure did. And Curtis Blades has had that. And I remember we talked about this. I mean, anyone has is in danger of getting hit by Francis or Derek Lewis, but that he hasn't even lost decisions, Derek. I'm sorry, Curtis. I believe it has just been guys like those giant heavy punchers landing the right shot on him. So that's a tough thing to overcome.
I feel like poor Curtis is, it's one of those, the bridesmaid, never the bride, everything.
Yeah, like, look, like, Cowboy always
getting close. And then he gets taken out. He just beat, before this, who's the tough cop from Philly, former cop?
Oh, Dawkus.
Dawkus.
And Aspinall, but that was an injury, but.
Yeah, you're starting to think, like, man, this guy's, it's about to be Curtis Blades' time. Yes. Yes. Well. Sergey has something to say about that.
Well, when you see, I'll bring in Brett if he's in the waiting room. We don't need to make him wait. We're just getting started. I have a bit of a cold. Brett Okamoto's in the waiting room. Yeah, bring him in.
There he is.
Hey, Brett.
Yeah, Brett, you're on air on UFC Unfiltered. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Happy UFC Unfiltered.
Yeah, welcome.
My friends Matt and Jim. What's up,
How you guys? Doing? I'm good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
We were just talking as you came in. We just started talking about the card, and we both had blades because we figured that Sergey hasn't been out of the first round in a while and that Curtis would find a way to drag him into a little bit of a deeper, you know, he's so brutal, but he has that thing where those heavy punchers have just really, whether it's a Francis or Derek Lewis, not Sergey. So it's like, is Blades ever going to be able to get past one of these guys in a spot where he really needs to?
It doesn't look like it right now. Yeah. Huh? I mean, God, this guy's record is so impressive, but there are times in fights and you see this from time to time. I guess it's not, you don't notice it a ton at the very, very top level, but you just see when guys are not real comfortable in fights. And Curtis, when he's fought some of those big punchers, he's just looked a little uncomfortable. And maybe that's like when he shoots on them. And even though he only shot once in that fight, he just feels something like, uh-oh, I don't know if I can get this guy down. And then, or maybe this, maybe Curtis, like, and hey, nobody really likes to get hit, but maybe he really, really just does not feel comfortable still getting hit. I mean, Matt, you know, as a fighter, sometimes like guys, they can train themselves to go through it, but they're never really super comfortable with it, right? For whatever reason, Curtis just hasn't looked very comfortable against some of these guys.
You know, you look at his the last fight was Tom, and then before that was Chris Dukakis, right?
Dukakis, yeah.
I believe so.
So, yeah. You know, with the Dukakis fight, you're starting to be like, look, he's getting this down. He's landing his hands, landing his strikes. We already know that he has the wrestling ability. So, you know, he's shown that he does have some power. And in the beginning, I wasn't nervous for him until he went for that shot and Sergey shook it off. Then I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, there's these exchanges. Ooh, it looks a little scary, but he's going to add in. This is what he needs to do to make him believe he's going to stand until he gets that shot. And then he gets him down, and then we'll see what happens. So after each one of those exchanges, it's a little bit of a nail biter. I'm like, all right, wait, but the shot's going to come. And it wasn't coming, but then when it did come and Sergey shook it off, then I'm like, all right, now this might be a fucking problem.
Did he wait too long for it though? Because by the time he shot, he was already a little hurt. So as easily as Sergey threw that takedown attempt off, was that really his best shot? Because at that point, he was already starting to get pieced up a little bit.
Blending the shots with the strikes. That's why, like, people are like, oh, Merab is endurance. Yeah, but what about the timing on his entries? Very rarely you see him getting clipped or he, and it's not just because he is a bull and a machine, but it's the timing on when they go to strike, when they retract the arm or the leg and how you follow them in. And it's an art in itself. So some guys are phenomenal wrestlers, great punchers, but it's how you blend it together. I mean, it really is. Like, Merab's a master of it. George St. Pierre is a phenomenal guy at closing the distance. His trainer, John Danaher, used to say, the art of the shoot box. In other words, it's a feet to the floor, how to close a distance without getting banged up. That's an art in itself. And Curtis is like yet to master that at the highest level.
Do you think that that Derek Lewis fight did anything? Getting caught with that short punch in a fight where Derek clearly was not fighting his best and he still found a way to beat him. I wonder if that, knowing his timing had been gotten down and Lewis was waiting for him to come in and take that shot, if that changed the way he approached that in these fights after.
Sure, it didn't help the confidence. Fucking, you know, I mean, whenever you get caught with a shot like that, it's probably always in the back of your mind. They make you get stiff like that. And, I don't know. He only went for one shot. So we don't really know. Like, you know what I mean?
I think it's what you said more so though, Matt. Like, certainly if you start to lose to these big punchers, then you start to feel like, uh-oh, this is just like a terrible matchup for me. I'm cursed with these matchups. But the bigger problem is that lack of blending. Because if you don't have that skill, then you're going to struggle with them anyway. And then if you've lost to a bunch of them, then the mental part starts to follow it. But if you don't have the skill to get them to think about your striking and then take them down, because for whatever reason, he's just not that guy who can, like, he can't Kamaru Usman you and just hold you against the fence and then take you down. He's got to kind of do it in a shot. And his shots are just, the timing of them just doesn't really surprise some of these top guys.
I mean, how do you think Pavlovich matches up? I guess it's going to be the winner of Stipe and Jones. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that it is Jones wins that fight. I definitely don't think he takes Jones out in the first round.
I don't think we ever find out, man. I think John leaves before before then. I think mean, John's already kind of tweeted, you know, hey, what do you think about my retirement fight at MSG? I don't know, man. I just don't
really.
I don't think John Jones is going to beat Stipe Miocic and come off of a fight against, like, oh, the greatest heavyweight of all time, and then go right into a fight with Sergey Pavlovich. I just don't think that John is, like, that's going to interest him, man. He's going to be like, oh, you know, that doesn't really fire me up. Like, I don't think he'll take that fight, to be honest with you.
I wonder, though, for the, like, didn't he, I think he signed, was it an 8-fight deal, or was this, is it, and maybe just because he did lose some prime years. I mean, John Jones, I'm sure, has money, but at this point, you might want to do a few fights just because, hey, these are fights that you're going to make huge amounts of money on that you didn't make for the last 3 years. So I wonder if that would motivate him to take fights that, like you said, maybe he doesn't even want.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to throw this in here. We'll get back to these fights the other night. You know, we'll talk about them. What about the Nate Diaz street fight? Come on, man.
I don't know.
Nate let him drop his head. Nate tried to lower him and then just seemed to, like, lose interest. And then the guy fell back. He's lucky that guy didn't get really hurt falling.
It looked like he did get kind of hurt. Looked like he did bang his back of his head pretty hard.
He did. But you see Nate tried to walk him down. I think that's why he probably choked him instead of punching him, is he was probably trying to get rid of the guy without actually really hurting him. And then as he's walking him down, it seems like he kind of tripped and fell. And then the guy fell back and hit his head.
Well, you know, it is a street fight.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't hurt him. I mean, they gave me, listen to me. The guy got attacked. From what I seen, he's backing up, had his hands up, you know. And then, you know, he's entangled with this guy, you know. I love it. And what I love about it is that guy's fine today. You heard that guy in an interview afterwards. They interviewed the guy.
Mm-hmm. What did he say? I didn't see that.
He suckered me type of thing. The guy seemed a little,
yeah,
a little
wild. Kind of happy about it, to be honest.
I think the guy's happy, but yeah, he didn't seem too upset.
Get the attention, you know.
But you know, that's what I love about jiu-jitsu, man. And the way he finished it, I'll compare it to the way John Jones, we were just talking about him, how he finished Machida.
I know.
It was a guillotine. With these guys with the lanky arms, you start with, like, an elbow up guillotine, and then they actually reinforce it. So it becomes almost, it was almost like a rear naked choke. You know what I mean? It gets on those carotid arteries. That's why he went to sleep so fast.
You got to tell these guys, though, right, Matt, that if you're going to do that in the street, don't do the Leona Machida drop, because that's when that guy might have gotten seriously hurt.
Yeah.
And then they were talking about a different story with Nate. Nate might be in some legal issues. So, if you're going to stand and guillotine a guy in the street, I think you got to kind of drop him down.
That's why you want to see the guy be okay. That's exactly it. That's why you want to see the guy, just because you don't want Nate to get in trouble or to have the lawsuit or have to deal with legal problems.
I would rather deal with that kind of trouble after the fact than us sitting here talking about, man, did you see Nate trying to lay this guy down nice and gently and somebody fucking suckered him. Now he's got a broken jaw. Dude, he was a fucking melee. So the fact that Nate Diaz just put him to sleep and walked off like a fucking pimp, it was something. It just adds to the legend that is Nate Diaz. He didn't fucking hurt that guy. That guy's not hurt. The guy's walking around today fucking fine. And that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu. You hear this? Yeah. Listen, I don't want to bring up the guy's name that who just got banned and now he's back. He was in jail. Andrew Tate, and listen, entertaining as shit, says some cool stuff, says some funny stuff, says some outrageous stuff. But the most outrageous thing he ever said was that jiu-jitsu doesn't work in a street fight. I think he only said that because he had some cage fights and I think he got submitted a bunch of them, to be honest. But listen, man, well, look at that. What if Nate would have fucking hit him and fucking elbowed him or punched him? And then now the guy's definitely fucked up. Then the guy can hit his head on the floor too. He's got some. This guy today has nothing but a story to tell people that he got put to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, and that was in the middle of a melee. You know what I mean? People are fucking all over the place. Yeah. I listen, I'm just happy about, you know, another win for jiu-jitsu. That's all. It's good. Self-defense, baby. Come on, man. Jimmy. Yeah.
Did he put his arms up? Because I watched the camera guy was a little off, so you couldn't see everything. Did it look like Nate? I always thought he put his arms up to get the other guy thinking he was about to get punched, just because he wanted to grab the back of his neck. Like, he kind of knew what he wanted to do, it seemed. And then he put a knee in.
Matt keeps calling it a melee, like he's Nate Diaz's lawyer or something. I didn't really see that much of a melee. I didn't see too many other dangers, you know, around Nate Diaz other than the guy in front of him. But yeah, he was certainly confronting.
When
Nate.
He was tied up with that guy, and when it pans off to the right, there's other things going on. It wasn't just them two.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by melee.
What started it? Did they say?
Let's get Diaz in trouble in a one-on-one wearing a fight. Goddamn melee! He's lucky he got out with his life.
Yeah, that's true.
No. Matt, what happened? Did they know what started it?
I have no idea, man. But oh shit! Hey, Noah started something inside on that place. He had something with an influencer who's like an amateur boxer. We just had him on the show. The guy Chase, ain't that right, Jake, the producer? That's who he threw the water bottle. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's who he threw the water bottle. At that YouTuber guy, Chase DeMore, I believe his name is.
Oh, yeah, we did have him on.
We had him on recently. And and I'll tell you right now, I don't think he's going to box Nate. I mean, if Nate wants a payday, he can fucking box him. But he's a nice kid on the show. I don't know what that came from. I think some people see him in the audience, and they might be thinking, all right, let me get a little something. It'll get broken up. And next thing you know, I got a boxing match. You know, the guy's a celebrity boxer.
Sure.
He thinks he can get something with Diaz, you know? Maybe it's something like that.
You like you interested in Nate Diaz versus Jake Paul? You guys gonna watch that? You real up for that one?
Shit, man, I'm interested in Diaz making money. So I whatever he's got to do, whoever he's got to beat up, I like it. I'll watch that. You know, Jake Paul, and I Diaz knows how to fucking box, man. So that's what's interesting about it. You know what I mean? I wonder how the weight thing is, but Jake Paul. It's funny, like he fought one like legit boxer, and he kind of lost. He lost to that guy Tommy Fury. So now he's going. Now he's very strategic on who he picks. So he might think he could overpower Nate and this and that. But I'd be interested. Fuck, you know.
Nate won't. I think Nate's one guy who, no matter how big the moment is, he's comfortable. He's a guy that won't allow any of the shit talking, any of the nonsense around it. None of it will bother him. I mean, he's as good at that as anybody who's ever fought. So, but the weight difference might be a problem for him. And the fact is, one of the things that makes you such a great boxer in the cage is that there's other things people have to look out for with Nate. Whereas if you're just boxing, it might be a little bit less. I think you might have a hard time with Jake.
You know, Andre Ward. Great boxer Andre Ward says that Nate Diaz was a great sparring partner over the years, training in the Bay Area with him. So, you know, Andre Ward, you know, I don't think he's just going to fucking say that.
No.
You
know what I mean? I talked to Andre Ward about Nate and Nick. Yeah.
Okay.
I've worked a couple shows with him. When Connor fought Floyd, Andre was a big part of the ESPN coverage. So we talked a lot about the Diaz brothers, and he said that they were legit. I don't know if it's going to be the size that gets Nate if he has issues. I think it's going to be the youth, right?
Yeah, but it's not like Nate was ever that explosive type of guy. He's that longevity guy. You know what I mean? He's got that endurance where he could overcome some shit. So it's not like, man, he's getting a little older. He lost his explosive. Nah, I think he's the same guy as long as he doesn't take his foot off the gas like you know, unfortunately, his brother did. You know what I mean? And show up not in shape. Nate's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And Nate's that guy that, you know, you might see him smoking blunts and shotgunning a fucking seltzer or something. But he's fucking, that guy's definitely, you know, he's doing the right thing. He's eating his fucking, like, he's drinking his wheatgrass, whatever the fuck he does. You know, he's doing the right thing with his diet. He does, you know, he does those marathons. Who the fuck wants to do that in their spare time? Yeah. You know, I like to do jujitsu to stay in shape.
Yeah. Oh, my. I mean, the abs, man.
I mean, come on, man. Oh, wrong. Anyway. Sorry, Brett. That just, it's like Tourette's. I like the.
That's Jimmy, all just jujitsu, huh? All that is jujitsu.
Jujitsu. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Wow.
I am pissing hot. Not a test me. I'll burn the cup. But, you know, guys, we'd be silly if we didn't talk about this debacle with Bobby Green and Jared Gordon.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel for Bobby because Bobby was coming in with that elbow strike, like the fucking, and then Jared did duck kind of into it. I mean, you could say that he rammed him with his head, but he did come in with a legit elbow strike. he went into it. I feel for Bobby, but you know, Bobby's like, look, he was awake on the ground, and yeah, but how'd he get on the ground? He got on the ground by a battle. So it's unfortunate, but I think the right call was made. You know, I hate that these guys are leaving with half a check, but it's interesting if they fight again, because I feel Bobby was almost kind of trying to force the action. Like he wanted to like make his, he was on him. And Jared was taking advantage of that by doing some nice counter striking. I feel the longer it goes on, it would be so interesting if it got to the second round, because Bobby Green's been around so long that sometimes he has to find his distance and his timing. So, I mean, that fight was just getting going. So I wouldn't mind seeing it again, to be honest.
I bet they'll do it again. I bet they'll do it again. And like you said, I mean, you feel bad for Bobby, but what are you going to do? Like, it doesn't happen all the time. Like, a lot of times we see headbutts, but maybe it's a cut, and or maybe, like, the fight can continue. The way in which it happened where the referee missed it at first and then it led to the finish, like, there's nothing you can do. I mean, Jared Gordon doesn't deserve a loss on his record in that case. The thing that you feel bad about is the money thing, right? But that's not really a replay issue. That's just a contract issue, you know? And that's how the sport is situated. So,
and they should use replay. I don't know. I'm always for replay. Like, I don't know why that there's this thing people think that, well, a replay, it takes something away from the fight or the game. I don't think it does at all. I think getting the calls right is, you know, it's important. These guys, one win or one loss could be the difference between eventually getting a title fight. I mean, it's ridiculous to have somebody lose from a headbutt. So I think they should all be using replay. I don't know what states are not using it, but if they're not, of course they should use it.
Yeah, shit, man. Not to bring it up. It was ages ago. What? But fucking Joe Rogan, it was a headbutt. This was ages ago. I still think about this. I don't think about it a lot, but we brought up headbutts. When I was fighting Matt Hughes, and my head kind of hit his chin, but I knocked him down with a fucking overhand. Anyway, guys, let's get back to the action.
would you have liked replay then, Matt? Of course you would have.
You say a rematch? The guy got hit by a train, you sick fuck. I don't replay. Want a rematch.
Replay. Oh, okay.
Bad taste. Boo-hoo. Jimmy, listen. Sixth sense of humor, Brett. Don't laugh at that. Yeah. Guys, yes, I would have liked the replay.
Yeah. I don't understand why every sport isn't using it for everything. It just takes too long if you use it too many times. But if it's something that ends the fight.
I mean, how often does it actually get used? You only need it like once every month or so. So
I think it's not that often.
The only reason the other states don't do it is just because they're kind of lazy and they don't have regular meetings. And you know, the motivation to implement it. But there's really no reason against it.
So there's really nobody fighting it. It just hasn't. It's one of those things that hasn't come up or been pushed for, but nobody's actually actively pushing against it.
Yeah, no, not that I know.
Can I just say I got one of my favorite scars? You see that above my eye? See, this thing was 50. Dr. Wilbur in Indiana did that in the ER from Chris Lytle. First round, we clashed heads, and I did have a nice size vagina on my face. And I'll tell you, the guy who stitched it up. I remember doing it, and Longo's looking off to the side like this. I go, fuck, Longo. I would have been getting onto airplanes months after that. And the flight attendant would be like, wow, that's it. I'm like, thanks, lady. People would tell me to put vitamin D on and vitamin B.
Vitamin E, Matt. Vitamin E. I think it's vitamin E.
Maybe that's why it didn't work.
Yeah, you're putting vitamin C on it so you don't get a cold. It's vitamin E.
Listen to me. I wish that thing would stay more. God damn, does that make me look tough. Let's get back to some MMA news.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Brett, we have fun. We like to keep it light here.
I see that. No, I know that
about it. We have very little accomplished. Matt always remembers people we've had on. I did not remember we had that influencer on. I did not tie that in. I know that what was the country singer we had on? He just made the news for doing something with Bud Light
Garth Brooks.
No, he didn't have Garth Brooks. Fuck. Do you don't remember who he is? I'm sure.
You guys like having MMA people on or non-MMA people on?
I prefer I want MMA people or someone who at least watches MMA.
Like Bradley Gilbert.
Like, he's a real fan. Like, he watches every pay-per-view. He watches the fight nights. I always prefer if they at least really like MMA, because, you know, it's more fun to talk about MMA with someone who isn't into it than just their, you know, I don't really care about the rest of the stuff they want to promote. Yeah, he's friends with Cowboy too, correct?
Yeah, he's friends with Cowboy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man, all I do know is the fucking, talk about edge of your seat, Jeremiah Wells versus Semi the Jedi, Matthew Semensberger.
Yeah.
That was, dude, I'll tell you right now, they were almost, the way that fight started, when Semensberger had him hurt with the opening strike, it was like, oh, and even, who was it, Paul Felder? They were like, I didn't see this happening. And for him to recover, you got to give it to Jeremiah Wells for the way he had to just fucking how he recovered from that fucking onslaught in the beginning was something else. And then the second round was almost a repeat of that. In the beginning, it started off extremely rough, and then again, he just fucking persevered. I mean, hell of a fight.
Didn't you think, Matt, in the second round, though, that I thought it wasn't as bad for Wells? I thought he did get dropped, but I thought he came on strong a lot earlier than he did in the first. And the judging is kind of what I, you know, because me and Bobby Green had that disagreement about the judging or the way fighters look at judges. But 30-27, two guys gave Wells that, and then 29-28, Semelsberg. It's just such an odd, completely opposite way of seeing it. I didn't think that 30-27 was fair. I mean, I thought that he definitely lost. I thought he lost the first round. I thought Wells lost at least the first round.
He lost that. Listen, now, who was the closest to ending it? Probably Matthew Semensberger.
Yeah, I didn't think Matthew was that hurt by the end of the first. Even though he was in a bad position, I didn't think he was hurt as much as Wells was hurt.
But how crazy is it? Unless you go by the rule of him getting dropped, and that's an automatic 10-8 type of thing. Because if you don't go by that, besides him getting hurt in the very beginning, he won the whole rest of it. He won the whole rest of that fight, that round. He did. I mean, Matthew got away, but I think Jeremiah got him down again.
He stunned him more than once in the first round, though. I thought the second round, you're right. I thought that the second round, it was Wells had a much better round after getting initially, I think, put down. But I think in the first round, Semelsberger had him hurt definitely more seriously and for a longer period of time than he did in the second.
The first round was the only one in question.
Okay.
So either way you look at it, he beat him at least two rounds. Even if you give it 29-28.
I don't mind him getting the decision, but I'm saying then somebody else sees it 29-28 Semelsberger. It's like, it's just whatever they're putting emphasis on is the opposite. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah. These days, as long as they get the right winner, then you can't split hairs about the cards, right? I was always one of those people who thought that the hate on judging was way overblown. Not that there weren't some bad scorecards, but I was like, guys, it's not impacting much. It's not happening very often. And the fights that are split are very close, you know. But lately there have been some weird scorecards. There have been some weird scorecards in 2023. I feel like judging is getting worse for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I gotta admit that, like, I was kind of downplaying bad judging in this sport. And recently, man, I don't know. And I don't really think it's just because like we're louder about it. Like, we've always been loud about it, to be honest with you. Everybody's always complaining about judging. I just feel like it's more legit lately. I don't know what's up with these scorecards, but there have been some wacky ones.
Is it because the judges are they not held as accountable as other people? Like if they get it wrong, there's no real penalty other than, well, that's how he saw it. Or are they just emphasizing different things so completely? Like, some guy puts so much more emphasis on ground control and takedown attempts or takedowns, and some guy puts so much more emphasis on strikes or on again dropping him. Like, but when you look at Wells and Semelsberger, they did get the right decision, but the fact that they see it so completely differently, you know, like an umpire in baseball might have a wider strike zone, but he doesn't put a different emphasis on balls and strikes. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of know what you're going to get there, but with this, it really is a crapshoot depending on what that particular judge, I guess, decides to put more stress on or give more credence to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way the system is right now. You know, I mean, yeah. It's hard to really completely define what's going to go into judging around. But I do think it's a lack of accountability. I don't think like when these guys screw up or when they're on the wrong side of a split decision, I don't think that the deterrent is very strong to get them to fix it. And also, I just think that these guys, well, you can't really even say this because some of the wacky scorecards come at the very beginning of the night. But sometimes these guys are like sitting around, and you guys know if you've been to a card and you're sitting there for like 7 hours and you're judging round after round after round, I think it can be mentally exhausting. So by the time you go up and you're doing that main event, and it's, you know, sometimes on the East Coast, it's like, you know, midnight, close to 1 a.m. and you've been judging fights since 4 p.m. I think you're just kind of in a mentally state, not super sharp. I think that has to do with a little bit.
Well, I think those motherfuckers better DoorDash some espresso because we need them sharp and we need them alert, and they got a job to do, man.
Yeah. Or do rotating judges. Can you do a rotating thing?
They do rotate, but I think they could add in a few more. Or
they already do that. I didn't even know they did that.
Different ones, maybe just have a set for the prelims and then a set for the main card.
Oh, okay.
But no, right now what it is they rotate. They rotate a little bit. Yeah.
So you'll do a few fights and then step out, and then somebody else will do it. I didn't realize they did that.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess that's not the solution. How about open scoring? I mean, that's been talked about before. Did they try that somewhere? Were they going to try that somewhere?
In Kansas. Yeah.
They did in Kansas. And did people like it or did they not like it?
I don't know. I personally don't like it. I just think that I as a viewer and as a product, like if I was a UFC, I wouldn't be for it, because there is just a certain drama that when you go into a fifth round of a title fight and you got two corners that are like, hey man, it's close. We need this fifth round. We need this fifth round. If all of a sudden you know that it's 3-1 and everyone has a 3-1, it really removes a lot of the drama, I think, for the viewer. People can say till they're blue in the face, like, that's not the case. We'd still watch. It would be great. It removes drama. If you don't know what the score is and these two guys got to go out and they both think they need to win the fifth round, you can't argue me and tell me that is less drama, right? If the fighters want to know, if the fighters are really like, we want to know, we deserve to know, if the coaches want to know, if they made this strong push for it, I personally wouldn't be against it because I think that they have the right to know. But I don't know, Matt, like, I think if you ask most fighters, they're like, yeah, sure, I know, but they don't care. They're not really advocating for this. So
I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it as a viewer. I want to be sitting there arguing with your buddies, being like, oh, there's no way he got that round. And you want, it's part of it. It's fucking part of it. You even guys getting upset with the decision is part of it. It's how can you want to be sitting there when they're waiting for the judges' scorecards. You don't want to be already heading out to your fucking car. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's how I feel. That's part of the event.
And they've also made this, like, I've heard people who are for it be like, oh, well, you know, they'll still be super aggressive in the fifth round. Like, it won't lead to stalling. Like, yes, it will, dude. You're talking about the best fighters in the world who know how to stall, who know how to kill time. Like, maybe on an amateur circuit in the third round, they're still fighting hard and they're going to get a knockout if they're doing it in Kansas under an experimental system or something. But if you're talking about like a Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski close round, but Alex knows he's up 3-1, that dude's going to know how to stall, you know? I mean, those guys are so smart. They're so skillful. So it would. I think it would really hurt the viewing experience. Plus, they did it in boxing for a couple of big boxing fights, and it was awful, man. It was awful. They announced the rounds. They announced the score like after six rounds or so. It was Austin Trout, maybe – Austin Trout fought Canelo or something. Yeah, I think it was Austin Trout fought Canelo. And everyone's like, oh, this fight's really close. It's really close. And then they announced the scores halfway through, and Canelo was up like 6-0. And then everyone just bitched about it the entire rest of the fight. You know,
well, that's so what they're going to do.
If you have bad scoring and you announce it early, then it makes it worse. You know,
they're going to be talking about it during the next round instead of being invested in this fight. How could they give that round? They'll be bitching about the judging during the fight instead of enjoying the fight. I'm not digging it. I'm just not digging it.
Yeah, I don't think it would be as fun to watch, but I do like wonder, would it help at all? Because it is the only sport where you really just don't know, combat sports, how you're doing, and what you have to do in the final round. I just, something about it holds the judges more accountable if the people in the room know with every round what they're doing, because they do get it wrong, and that is a part of it. But we're at a point now where there's so many talented fighters and so much parity that, like, you look at Pimblett Gordon, like, that fight could have changed the trajectory of Jared's career. Like, it could have put him in a spot that really set him in motion for another big name fight, and then maybe eventually a shot. And I know that does happen, but it's, I feel frustrated for the guys that get so blatantly fucked.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And unfortunately, that's just a part of a sport that incorporates judging. But there's another reason. And you guys are probably surprised that I have so much to say about open scoring, but I do have an opinion on it. And another way that it could mess with the scores is, let's say the three of us are judging, right? Let's say the three of us are judging and they announce the scores after the third round. And you guys have it 3-0 for one guy and I have it 3-0 for the other guy. I'm probably going to be like, oh, shit, I'm looking at this fight wrong. And it might make me biased in the next two rounds where I'm trying to catch up to your guys' score. It's just human nature because you're like, uh-oh, I've screwed up here. So
maybe,
It could actually make the scoring worse as well.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, maybe the judges, being human, would try to go to where the other two judges are going. So even this guy's a shit judge, he may do the next round actually unfairly because he's concerned about how stupid he looks in the first two rounds or the first round. Yeah, I guess.
Hey, what about this young girl, Lasmin, I want to say her name right, Luciendo?
I think it's Lucindo, but let me see.
Lucindo. How do you pronounce the first name?
Lucindo. That's the best I can do.
The first name I said.
Yasmin.
Yasmin Lucindo. Man! Wow! That's, dude, she was, I'll tell you right now, Morgan Walker was taking, she, I mean, she's durable, but she had to be hanging in there for three rounds with this Yasmin. She was tough, man. She was landing.
Yeah.
She was throwing some combinations with some heat on him, man. And she's got some power in her strikes. And I don't know. She was just on. I thought 21 years old, she was fighting pretty mature for a 21-year-old. You know, thoughts on this girl?
Yeah, it was great. And they kept talking about, I think they were talking a lot about Brogan Walker's lack of, not that she was a bad striker, but just how much she was being outstruck and how she was, she really just seemed to not want to engage.
She had a hard, she didn't have an answer for the strikes. And
yeah.
She couldn't get her down. So it was a problem. It was a show of, you know, she just kind of pretty much hung in there, you know, but it was great. It's great experience for young Yasmin. That was a nice three round, got some work in. Let me see who's next. Cause that girl's got a bright future. That girl was, you know, she was answering all the check marks in there, man.
And it's always nice when you see these young prospects, talented prospects, look really good in these divisions that are kind of historically thin. Like, that division has gotten better. She's a flyweight. But, man, like, if I see, like, a good, like strawweight's kind of like this right now. Strawweight kind of feels like it's been the same names over and over again. Bantamweight has definitely been that way with the women's fighters. That's just like – and obviously a lot of that has to do with Amanda Nunes being so successful, but – you just are like, man, can we get a little bit of new blood? Like, the 205-pound division in the UFC was like that for a while. Now it's kind of finally starting to get some new guys. But it's always just, I mean, you see a good 155-pound guy, 45-pound guy, you're like, all right, this is fun. This is cool, you know. But there's something else when it's one of these divisions where it's like, yes, thank you. I need something new to get invested in, because some of those divisions, they just lack some depth, man. They lack some young talent. So it's always good to see.
It was happening too, almost at middleweight, when Adesanya had kind of cleaned out the division, or Jones at light heavyweight. And it's funny, Demetrius Johnson just said something about how Jones would have been dominant if he had stayed closer to his original physique. But I don't even think that's necessarily true. But as you're talking, I'm thinking, what about Jones fighting at heavyweight? All of these, like, when you clear out the division, there's probably not as many fights you're excited about. But in the heavyweight division, there are guys he might be excited about, even if it's not, like, you know, Derek Lewis is probably past his prime, but it's still a big name fight. Jones could still hit some really big name pay-per-view fights at heavyweight, because there's nobody in that division he's faced.
I wonder why Demetrius Johnson would say that, considering how well John Jones performed in his new form, like being a bigger guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really look at that and go, well, he might've did better if he had like 10 pounds off him. I mean, dude, the guy just steamrolled Cyril Gane. I don't know. Why would, I mean, maybe he's saying that he doesn't need to gain the weight. He's that skilled. I don't know if that's what he's saying, but it's one thing if he had a tough time at heavyweight and then, you know what I mean? I mean,
maybe he will, dude. Maybe he'll get a little smaller. Like, if he's going to fight like a quick guy, maybe he won't look that big. Maybe against Gane, he was just like, he knew he was going to take him down, knew he wanted the extra mass on him, you know, and it worked out pretty well for him. Like, who's to say if he were to fight, you know, like a Blades or something, he'd be like, no, I need to be quicker and agile, and I need to have the cardio, you know. He'd probably come in different, man. That's one of the things that makes John great, is that he doesn't come into a fight always like the exact same.
Maybe against Stipe, he's a little smaller. I mean, don't forget, Stipe dropped weight to fight Ngannou the second time, and it turned out not to help him. But yeah, maybe Jones doesn't come in, because he came in way heavier than I thought he was going to. I thought he was going to come in 230, maybe. I had no idea he was going to come in as heavy as he did.
Well, I will tell you, though, the co-main event, Bruno Silva versus Brad Tavares. Oof. Bruno needed that win, man. He was down. Yeah. He lost by a submission to Gerald
Meerschaert. Yeah.
And then before that, he lost to Alex Pereira. So listen, a couple of tough fights in a row. He needed to make kind of a statement and get back in the mix. And he did it. And Brad's a hard guy to put away, and he took him out.
Brad is not easy. Yep.
It's true. Yep. Brad's one of those workhorses that's just, you know you're in for a fight. So for him to get that is something else.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The main event on the prelims, really quick, the return of Ricky Glenn. He's been out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And Christos Gagos. Wow, man. That was awesome. I mean, there was round one. It was a minute. What was it? A minute 35?
Yeah.
It was just overwhelming, you know? And that sucks. It's one of those where, I mean, for Ricky Glenn, where it's almost like, ah, oh, man, he probably had so much to show, and he probably just feels, obviously he didn't get to show much, you know? And one of those, when you get your wits back to you pretty quick, you're almost like, oh, it's over. But you're like, you know, laces out type of situation. He's like, oh, I'm back, and fuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But you got to feel good for Christos, man. It's not like he doesn't have his share of losses. When you see, you know, guy with losses in the double digits, you're like, all right, man, this might be a good one for Glenn. And then, you know, that's a lot of experience, though. That is a lot of experience. So he made it work.
Yeah, so for a card that didn't have a lot of, like, star power name. I mean, obviously, Sergey's finish was great. Bruno's finish was great. I don't know if you guys saw the very first fight of the night, but Brady Hystand came back and won against Dana.
Over Dana, yeah.
Won in the third round after losing both. I mean, it looked like he was on his way to losing all three rounds, honestly. He came back and won. Francis Marshall is a kid who's really good. He lost. He got upset. There's some interesting results on this card for sure.
Yeah, Dana, that finish was so interesting too, because they were saying it looked like he just gassed, like he just gave up. I mean, I never think a guy gives up because he's not tough. I think it's just because you probably have no energy left. But he was kind of like on his hands and knees just getting – and it didn't seem like he was in such a bad position that he couldn't have defended. So he must have just had zero energy left. But yeah, that was. I love when that happens. I love when a guy it looks like he's about to go down 3-0. 421? Yeah, great fight. Great.
With 30 seconds left.
Yeah. You want it, Matt, as a fighter, like when something like that happens, when if you blow it like with 30 or 20 or 15 seconds left, what is the mentality in that compared to like what happens when if it's a first round or second round knockout?
Well, I can listen. My first time in the UFC, I fought Shoni Carter, and it was like 15 seconds left. Where it's debatable, maybe I would have won, maybe I would have lost. It was one of those back and forth. I didn't really know how to pace myself then, so I was just attacking him the whole time. I was getting tired a little bit, and my striking wasn't where it should be. But anyway, a lot of submissions thrown at him. He was all oiled up in a speedo. But fucking
the good old days.
15 seconds left. I was in my guard. I could have stayed down there. But I got up and I just ran after him. I just ran straight at him. And he spun around and knocked me out with a spinning back fist. So that was a highlight for years. And you know what? With me back then, my thoughts were, That was my first time in the UFC. Before that fight, none of my fights went longer than a few minutes. So I fought all local like people and some guys that like I submitted. And I remember feeling, I don't know how I'd feel about it if it was later on in my career, but I remember feeling like, look, that was my first war. Shoney had like fucking close to 100 fights by then. I had like 8. I go, you know, I felt kind of satisfied that I had a war, even though I was so close to kind of winning and I lost. So I don't know. Maybe if it happened later in my career, it would have been more disappointing.
Right.
Not that I wasn't disappointed, but I had my first war. So I was kind of like, I remember driving back from AC being like, man, I had a fucking battle. So I don't know.
You took out of it the fact that you fought really well through the whole fight. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I looked at it like that. Otherwise, I would have been like, ah! I would have fucking, you know, you got to deal with it somehow, you know?
Did you have many experiences in your career where you were just gassed? Like you were just like, man, I can't do anything. I can barely stand here.
Yeah, the Carol Parisian fight was like that. And I'm glad I got through it. I always point to that fight because I had to use a rear naked choke defense. I did a beautiful arm lock defense when it was full blown on. And I had nothing in the tank. So I like pointing out stuff like that where my jiu-jitsu came in and saved me from having to say uncle, you know? That fight and then the second CPA fight, I was very tired. So there's certain fights where it stands out where you remember it. Like, you know what I mean? And that Shoney fight was a lot of tunnel vision my first time in the UFC. It's almost like 3D. Everything felt weird. I remember like, yo, this is rougher than I thought it would be. And then that goes away over time with being kind of comfortable in the, you know, with experience.
Was it different though in those fight? Like that fight, you said you had gotten tired from defenses and like from actually in the GSP fight. Did you? What you were tired of kind of when it started, right?
Well, the second fight, that feet to floor is what kills you. So like, if you don't do enough of the feet to floor leading up to a fight for whatever reason, you'll feel it with the endurance. Watch boxers if they ever go down or even if they slip. Sometimes they're getting up all slow and shit. The up and the down in a fight is what's fucking exhausting, yeah. You know? Yeah. That was reminding me of a fucking, what fight was that where, was it Matthew Semisberger? When he was just fighting off those fucking takedowns and then finally just giving it, it's exhausting.
That's what makes
a failed get up. Right? Also, I'm sorry, Brett, was it?
That's what makes fighting Marab so hard, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, because usually a guy goes down and up, they're getting gassed also. So when a guy doesn't get gassed, you're like, fuck, man. That's what happened with Peter Yan. Peter Yan was fighting off Marab, doing all the right things. Wizards, taking away the single leg. But then you just keep doing it. It's just, all of a sudden, it's just, he's getting him down, and he's keeping that same pace. So even if you're fighting him off in the beginning, it's like, hey, dude, man, who's gonna gas first? And it's usually the other guy. So yeah. When Semelsberger tried to get back up, and this was a big part of the fight where,
Wells,
when he went to get back up, and he almost got back up, and Wells just did like a football tackle. Rah! Dude, a failed get up is almost as bad as a failed takedown or a failed shot. It's exhausting. So yeah, so that up and down is what really fucking gets you. You know,
did you ever have that moment? Like, it's like a cliche saying in the sport, we're like, oh, there's a way out. Like you can look for a way out. Like, and did it ever go through your mind? Like, oh, I could tap or I could get caught in something just like, and this could be over. Like I wouldn't have to fight anymore. I wouldn't have to be exhausted, like getting hit anymore. Like, did you have those thoughts go through your head?
You know what? There's always, see, that's the fight or flight situation there. So I'm very proud where there's times where, again, I'll point out that Carol fight because that's one where I was really tired. And that's a bad guy to get tired with because his nickname was the Heat. And that guy almost had endurance type. Like he had a very good endurance, Carol. So I remember between the second and third round, the doctor even asked, you know, watch him and this and that. And Longo's, you know, I think Longo asked me and I was threatening Longo not to end it. So I liked that was in me. And I wasn't like, you know, because all you need to do is hesitate a second. And they'll stop that. Like, you know what I mean? And then you have to live with that. So that's a rough thing. So I remember being dead tired. Even after that Carol fight, I laid backstage for like 25 minutes. I was just fucking, I remember thinking like something's wrong with me. Something physical. And it was, I think I was just beyond gassed. But you really question, you know, you answer a lot of questions about yourself in situations like that. So I'm glad, you know, and then I can say the same thing for the second GSP fight. Maybe I should have moved a little longer. Maybe I hesitated too long. So that bothered me. But then I knocked that Frank Trigg after that, and I got back happy again.
Good palate cleanser.
Yeah, I had to cleanse the palate.
Yeah, good sorbet. Good knockout Frank Trigg. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best thing to deal with.
All right. Well, Brett, thank you for being here. I guess that's it for us. We're at 50 minutes now. Do you have anything you want to promote, and where can people see you?
Same spot as usual, ESPN. They're letting me do I did the post show for the Izzy fight, which was incredible. Like sitting up there with your guy, Dean, Matt, and Dustin Poirier. And then, after Izzy did that in Miami and knocked him out and, you know, did the whole celebration, like I was basically the first guy that got to talk to him on that show. So I would pump the post show, man. I don't know how many like people watch the pay-per-view and then they get on with their night. But sometimes, man, like stick around for that post show. Cause you can hear from those guys. Like they come up to the desk, like right after the fights. It's my favorite part.
I love that. They got the shirts off still. They're talking all sweating. Yeah. Hey, really quick, petty or not petty, what he did by referencing to the kid. Dean Thomas thought it was pretty petty. Yeah. And pretty and uncalled for because the kid was young. Go ahead. What do you guys think?
So petty. I'm totally here for it, man. I'm here for it. Like whatever you need to like motivate yourself to stick it to somebody. Look, I'm not promoting like, you know, bringing people's kids into it or like bringing people's families and like talking and like showing them in like your posts or something. Like that's kind of a little heads up. But that kid did something to Izzy. I understand he was five. Bro, my son's like 2.5. If my son did that to someone who was knocked out unconscious, and then years later that guy got it's not like he just got him a little bit. I like it. I like that he remembered it, and it still fired him up. I was inspired by it.
Did Alex comment on that or no?
Yeah, listen, I think he did comment on it, but he did say, like, and this is where he maybe shouldn't have said this because this made me change my. You know, I'm a father too. You know, when it comes to kids, but. The kid did that, and then when Alex was talking about this, Alex Pereira, he goes, look, you know, my son wanted to do that again and then when he beat him in the UFC, but, you know, he told him not to. So obviously the little kid didn't learn his lesson. So the father might not have let him, but it's like, hey, you really want to play dead in front of this guy again? I mean, listen, kid, you're not five anymore now.
At the end of the day, that's a good lesson for that kid to learn. Like, even though you were five, like you've been around the fight game. You've been around the fight game your whole life. Like you do Izzy, that.
Izzy things says,
can come back to you.
Izzy says, if you could crawl, we could brawl. I fucking love Izzy. Izzy's one of my favorites. That, but... All right, man. Good stuff. Yeah. Brett, always fun having you here, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank
All
you.
All right, Brett. Thanks a lot, man.
See ya.
And Matt, that does it for us. I want to say thank you to Cleveland, who came out in full. They're full sold out show. So a great, great weekend in Cleveland. And if you want to catch me Wednesday night, Fat Black Pussycat. And then May 19th, Bethlehem, PA. May 20th, Montclair. How about you, buddy?
I'll be with you in a couple of days. And then the following weekend, for the love of MMA, in Manchester.
All right, good.
I'll be there shaking hands, you know,
kissing babies.
I'm not after that,
kissing hands, shaking babies, whatever you do.
I'm not doing anything near babies, but I'll tell you right now, I will be showing some arm locks, a Kimura. I'm gonna have a good time, you know, because you know, I'm all about a good time.
My allergies are killing me,
Jimmy. It's only a short couple of days before we hang out again.
Yes, I'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, Jimmy, FaceTime you later.
Yes, please do.
Bye, buddy.
Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.